Leaning into local radio. 98.3 FM WCQM, Park Falls, a civic media station. This is 98Q Country.
The members of Peace Lutheran Church consider it a privilege to have you share in their service of worship. If you have no church home, we invite you to worship with us Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. If you are unable to attend our worship service in person, we invite you to join us again next week at this time. If you wish to sponsor a broadcast in memory of a loved one, call the church office at 715-762-4541. Peace offers live stream worship as well. On the YouTube channel, search for Peace Lutheran Church, Park Falls. You can also follow us on Facebook. If you would like to give an offering to God for His ministry, you may do so on the Facebook page.
Serving Wisconsin's beautiful Northwoods, 98Q Country is 98.3 FM WCQM, Park Falls, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Polls show a virtual tie 16 days from Election Day. ABC political director Rick Klein has the latest.
This race has not been upended, but it has narrowed. Right now, about a two-point edge in the popular vote, according to the polling average at 538. It hasn't been much more than that for a while, but there has been the slightest bit of movement toward Donald Trump, and in a close race, every tiny bit of a percentage point could matter.
Former President Trump is spending his second straight day in Pennsylvania, while Vice President Harris has an event in Georgia for the second day in a row. Authorities in Georgia are investigating why a bridge gangway collapsed on Supelo Island with about 40 people on it at the time. Authorities say at least seven died. Documents have emerged online that reportedly show classified U.S. intelligence gathering on Israel's preparations for a strike against Iran. U.S. officials are not commenting on the documents. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Senator Tammy Baldwin and challenger Eric Hovde meet tonight for their only debate. You can hear it on many civic media stations tonight at 6:50. Groups are asking the state attorney general to look into intimidating text messages sent to young adults about voting in Wisconsin. Jay Heck of Common Cause says he thinks most won't fall for it.
I think younger people, by and large, I think are less susceptible to some of this stuff that they see in the texts that they get because they're just more used to social media. And I think a lot of them are probably a little more savvy about whether it's true or not.
The texts warn of fines or jail time for breaking election laws. Critics say the intent is to scare young people into not voting. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
The Badgers beat the Wildcats. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Wisconsin with a 23-3 win at Northwestern yesterday. The Badgers had one interception and lost a fumble, and yet the defense held Northwestern to just a field goal, head coach Luke Fickell.
Yeah, give them credit. I mean, those guys are doing a really good job. They're learning from the mistakes that have happened in the past. They're gaining poise and confidence in what they're doing, and that's what it takes. They got a turnover, they end up driving it down, and you got another red zone stop, which those are so key and critical, especially in tough-fought battles, especially on the road in this league. So give them a lot of credit. They bent a little bit. They had to recover a little bit. You know, quarterback takes off and scrambles is always one of those ones. It's a dagger, but you just got to fight yourself to give us another opportunity for another play, and they did a really good job of getting the stop there in the red zone.
The Badgers now 5-2. They won three in a row and host Penn State next week. NBA, the Bucks season opener is Wednesday in Philadelphia. Do they have the weekend off?
No, we're going to practice a lot, work a lot, keep working on execution.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Sunny skies and gusty southwest winds today up around 25 miles per hour, or highs reaching the mid-70s. Mostly clear near 50 in the overnight. It stays a bit on the breezy side. Monday mostly sunny, highs in the middle 70s.
Right now it's 48.
Thank you. stand as we are able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue and speak responsively the introit. The whole world is in your power.
O Lord, King Almighty, no one can save you.
For you have made heaven and earth.
You are Lord of all.
Blessed are those whose way is blameless,
who walk in the law of the Lord.
Confirm to your servant your promise,
that you may be feared.
Turn away the reproach that I dread. Behold, I long for your precepts.
In your righteousness, give me life.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The whole world is in your power.
O Lord, King Almighty, no one can gainsay you.
For you have made heaven and earth. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Oh, us pray. O Lord, keep your household, the church, in continual godliness, that through your protection she may be free from all adversities and devoutly given to serve you in good works, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading this morning begins at the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves with which the waters swarm, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw that everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read the gradual along with me. Lord, the epistle is found in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, starting at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite the congregation to stand as you are able as we continue with the Alleluia end verse. Gospel according to St. John, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The official said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go, your son will live. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. As he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better. And they said to him, Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. The father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." And he himself believed, and all in his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come down from Judea to Galilee. This is the gospel of the Lord. I invite the congregation to be seated, and those children that are present may come forward for our children's message this morning. Good morning, boys and girls. Good morning. I am glad to see you all here once again, and I'm so glad that you were able to hear the lessons that we had for this worship service. Yeah, and sometimes we have other people that hear us too, and we like them to hear us. Do you know who wanted you to hear the lessons that were read today? Who wants you to hear that?
Me.
All right. Sometimes that happens to me too. Yeah. Who wanted you to hear the lessons that were read today? Who do you think?
God.
God does. Yes. God wants you to hear his word and to hear it and to believe it. We heard in the Old Testament lesson that was read, we heard how God created the heavens and the earth and all the animals, the birds, the fish and the sea, and how he even created humans in his image. We hear these words and we are called to believe them. Our gospel lesson also had words that God wanted people to believe, right? In the gospel lesson, there is a man, and he had a son, and his son was sick, right? Mm-hmm. Have you ever been sick?
Yes, I had a bad cough.
Oh, some of us get bad coughs and colds, yes. Oh, there are times, you're right. Sometimes we get fevers, sometimes our stomachs don't feel well, sometimes we have pain. And this man, his son was sick, so sick that they thought he was going to die. That's not good, is it? If they're so sick that they think you're going to die. And so he went to Jesus, and Jesus spoke to him, and he said, "Go, your son will live." And so that is the words that Jesus spoke to the man. And then did the man believe his words?
Yes.
Yes, he did. And he went home, and as he was going home, what did his servants come and tell him? Did you guys hear that? What was it the servants telling him? Yeah, they said, "Your son's recovering." And then he said, "Well, what time did that happen?" And they told him, and he says, "You know what? That was when Jesus told me he would live." And he believed him. So you and I, we are called to be like the man. We're called to hear when God speaks his word to us and to know that he speaks truth and to believe him and the promises that he gives to us in his word. And so that's why it's good and it's the best thing for you to be in church, so that you can hear God's word, so that those with you can also hear God's word, so that we can believe, and that in believing we have faith and life everlasting. So we're glad we're here today, and we heard what God says and that we are able to believe. So I invite you at this time to please fold your hands, boys and girls, and those that are with us in the congregation, and we're going to say an echo prayer. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word of truth. Thank you for your word of truth. Help me always to believe your words. Help me always to believe your words and the promises you give to me. And the promises you give to me. We pray in Jesus' name.
We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. All right, boys and girls, it is time for you to return back to your seats. And doing on your way, you certainly can take one of these treats. The congregation is going to be singing hymn 668 at this time. Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon is based upon the text from Ephesians chapter 6. We heard spoken, but in addition to it, some of the verses that were left off. If we would pick up back at 17, it says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Paul has written to the Ephesians. He's speaking to them the truth of the matter of the life that they live in. A truth that he uses and speaks of them, that they are to put on this whole armor of God because they need it. And they are going to put it on, and then it's going to help and aid them in their life. And he even mentions this word, wrestle. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. How many of you have seen high school wrestling? Any of you seen it, remember it, or maybe participated in it? I recall it didn't seem that you needed a whole lot to be part of the wrestling squad. Yes, you needed some skills and some talents and some time, but when you went to wrestle, you, in practice, just seemed to wear shorts and maybe a t-shirt or maybe sweatshirts, depending on what you felt like wearing. Clothes that you had around, clothes that most people had. Yeah, you had some wrestling shoes, and then you had some headgear, usually there to help protect your ears so that they weren't ground into the ground or kind of pulled off. And maybe a mouth guard even, so that your teeth would be protected. Sounds a whole lot different than the way that Paul depicts the things that you need to wrestle, as he says it. And there are very significant reasons for the differences between the contests that we see on a wrestling mat in high school years or younger and those that Paul calls attention to be observed. What brings about the differences between the wrestling on the mat and the wrestling that calls for armor? Well, remember that those that are wrestling on the mat, there are boundaries with which the participants have agreed to engage. There are certain things and there's limits that they say, you know what, when we're wrestling with each other, these things are things that are allowed and these things are not allowed. And in order to make sure that both participants are agreeing to those and abiding by that agreement, we have a referee, right? Somebody who declares if things are not done, the one who also is helping give the scoring for it. There's not intention to harm the other deliberately in the match. It is not the objective to make sure that your opponent's elbow is, you know, pulled out of the socket or the nothing like that, or nothing that would bring direct violence, but rather that is a match engaged with each other. And this is clearly not the same in the wrestling Paul sees you and me engaging in. We have an opponent that engages us in whatever manner, shape, and form possible. There are no limits, there are no bounds, there is nothing underhanded in the attack and the approach our opponent wrestles us with. And first and foremost, let's be clear about your involvement in this wrestling match or competition. by virtue of the life you have, you have been entered into a competition that has been waged and continues to be fought. You didn't even agree to this, did you? Well, no. By the fact that you are alive, you are in a competition. And that's the same for every individual that God has given life to. From the moment of conception, a human enters into this struggle. And that struggle is between the rightful ruler of all creation, the triune God, the one who created it in 6 days, who designed it and made what is to be, the one who made the heavens above, the earth below, the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, all those creatures on the ground, and who created man in his own image. He is one. And then there are those that reject him as ruler over his creation. Satan, those others that followed Satan in rebelling against God, we generally refer to them as demons. But not only them, but also those that are tainted with sin reject God as Lord over them. And that has even included you and me in our lives. Because through birth, you and I are born into this competition on the side of those that reject God, because we are born with a sinful nature at war and warring with God. Yet, through the new birth of holy baptism, the washing and regeneration by the Holy Spirit, we see and we believe that people are taken from the darkness where the devil reigns and brought into the marvelous light of our Savior and Redeemer. And having been brought into that light, from the ranks of those that reject God and placed into the family of God, we desire that His kingdom, His reign would expand into all of the earth. And yet your change in status from one of those born and rejecting God to now being one that follows Him, knows Him as Lord and Savior, has put a bullseye on you and made you an enemy with the devil. And he desires that you would fall away, be separated from God, and that through you, others also would be separated from God. And so he's going to do the best that he can do to get you to do the wrong thing, to believe the wrong thing, to speak those wrong things, so that others too would reject God and his lordship over them. That's the competition that you and I are in from our very birth. A competition where our enemy is going to do whatever he possibly can do in order to destroy what God has created, what God has made. And he continues to do so using what he has always used: lies and deceptions, twisting of God's very own world, twisting how you and I would see reality. God created the world. He made all that is in there, and he made this wonderful place. He made man and woman, placed them in this garden. He gave them authority over his creation to rule over it in his stead. And there was one thing that they were especially called to abide by, not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Satan, he comes there. Did God really say? He starts to plant doubt, to twist God's word. Is that really what God said? Are you supposed to believe that? Lies and deceptions. It's how he works. We see it continually throughout the scriptures. Move from creation, move from the fall of mankind into the realm of being godly and holy without sin. Now tainted with sin, we see the prince of this world, and yet we see how he deceives man time and time again through our history. God enters into his creation, takes on human flesh, and even the devil tries to the same approach with him. Then the devil took Jesus to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone." Satan is using God's own words to tempt Jesus. So Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Satan's going to use whatever he can in order to attack you, to get you to sin, to get you to falsely believe, so that through you others would also be destroyed. Because that's the end goal that he wants for you, for the world. Destruction. He does not want God to rule and reign. He does not want you with God. He does not love God. You would say he hates him and wants to destroy anything that God has created. And so for even those that know that there is this struggle, there's also a temptation that Satan has, even in God's word, that he'll use God's word so that you and I would not do the right things. And well, we do have an example of that even in Scripture with Jesus in Matthew chapter 15. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat. This is how you're supposed to live a good and godly life, according to the tradition of the elders. And why do you..." But Jesus answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'Whoever reviles father or mother must surely die.' But you say, 'If anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he needs not honor his father.' So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you what he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" It's going on still this very day. People are using God's words. Satan is in this also, using God's very own words in order to get us to have the traditions of man. make void the word of God. That's Satan's tactics for those in the church. And well, if he can then get the church split, there's people outside the church who would say, well, why in the world do we even want to be part of the church when the church can't even agree with itself? Doesn't look very good then, does it, from the outside? When the church says on one hand, God says we are to love our neighbors as ourselves, and then the church on the other hand is said to be hypocritical in our love, using God's words. And yet, it's not that easy and simple, especially when Satan and his deceptions are involved. So how are you and I to combat this enemy when he even is using God's own words against us in our society, against us, against those who believe and seek to follow God as Lord and King? It's as Paul writes to us in the book of Ephesians. He calls that we should be strong in the Lord, in the strength of His might. Where is it that you and I find the might of our Heavenly Father? It's found in His Word. His Word of truth. His words where He spoke and it happened. Let there be light, and there was light. That is strength and might for sure. Your son, he will not die, he is well. And the son does not die, but rather is being healed. The very word of God spoken. This is the might you and I are called. Put on the whole armor of God. Put that on. That is what we needed to have and be surrounded with each and every day. This is the armor of God. Talks about a belt of truth. Yes, God's word is truth. Breastplate of righteousness. When we are in God's word, when we live lives according to it, we live lives that are righteousness. Shoes for your feet, the readiness to go out and give this gospel of peace. And in all circumstances, take the shield of faith. What is the shield of faith? Faith in, faith founded upon, none other than God's own word. The helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And these we put on. We are in God's word. We study it so that we can see and hear whether or not when people are saying, well, God says, well, is that actually true? Is this what God intends and how God wants us to live? You have to be in God's word to know God's word in order to tell when Satan is trying to deceive you by God's own word. And to be in communication with God, as he says, we wear this, we put this on, we're in, it is part of who we are, so that we, praying in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, being in communication with our Heavenly Father, talking to Him, seeking His guidance, we would be alert with all perseverance, not only for ourselves, he says, but making supplications for all the saints and for all of the world and for those that are to speak God's word of truth and bring it to others, as Paul himself is doing. We go to our Heavenly Father in prayer so that they would have opportunities and their mouths would be opened and boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel, so that we would have life eternal, so that those who hear us would have life eternal, so that they would not succumb and be defeated by the evil one. We do need armor in the fight against the devil. And that armor is to be in God's word, to know what God's word says, to study it, to be able to speak it, to recognize whether this is truth or this is a myth that Satan is deceiving me by. Hear God's word of truth. Continue to be filled with it. Be filled with the joy that it gives you. Be filled with your everlasting assurance that, yes, I am forgiven of all of my sins. I have been brought from darkness into the light. Because Jesus has shed his blood, I now have life everlasting. This is the armor that you are encouraged to clothe yourself with every day. Know that, yes, your enemy is out there seeking your demise, but God strengthens you with his good gifts. He gives you the truth in his word. He gives you assurances. He affirms that you have been forgiven in the sacraments and you have life everlasting. Be prepared. You are in a competition. Not of your own choosing, but a competition that you are victorious in through your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Put on the full armor of God. Recognize, yes, in Jesus Christ, I have the victory. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard our hearts and minds firmly in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to stand and speak words that speak of the victory we have wearing the armor of God. We speak the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, as was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord of hosts, your word is a weapon that teaches our hands to war and our fingers to fight. Strengthen us for every spiritual battle and establish us to resist the lies and temptations of the old evil foe. Lord, in your mercy, prayer. Defend your church against the schemes of the devil. Equip your church and especially all pastors with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that your creation may be recalled from futility back to its creator. Outfit your saints with the full armor of God, with salvation, faith, peace, righteousness, truth, and every benefit that comes from Christ Jesus, that we may be able to stand firm to the end. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, do not despise our prayers because of our weak faith. Grant life and healing to those who are troubled, ill, or at the point of death, especially Rick, Glenn, Tracy, Jerry, Sue, Melody, Barb, and Lowell. Free us from all adversities to serve you devoutly in all good works. Lord, in your mercy. O God, you rested on the Sabbath and established it for your ancient people as a commemoration of your creative work. Do not let us forget that it is you, Lord, who sanctifies us. Give us rest in your gifts, especially the sanctifying body and blood of Christ in this blessed sacrament. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Almighty and everlasting God, in your Son, you have promised us the forgiveness of sins, righteousness, and everlasting life. Enliven our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that in daily prayer we may seek help from Christ against all temptations, and believing his promises, obtain that for which we pray, and be saved at the last, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. At this time, our offerings are collected. Take up the full armor of God, so that you will be ready to resist in the evil day. And having done everything, to stand firm. Living, and we'll call on the name of the Lord. I will take the cup of salvation.